I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This week on the Gary House podcast, I have been speaking with the biggest runner on TikTok, Mr. Johnny Davis. Now, it might be a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek title, but Johnny explains to us on the call that he has just not met anyone yet as big as himself out running. That's not too much of a surprise because he stands at over 6'4" and when he started out running weighed just over 110 kilos. So I'm excited to kind of share with you the conversation with Johnny. I first kind of came across him on TikTok, which, although I don't spend too much time on the platform for work, I do put videos out there to see what happens. But the majority of my field are just other interests, whether it be my football, my music and comedy, that kind of thing. So my TikTok is just a little bit of a kind of escapism for myself. I didn't want my timeline to be ruined by the algorithm full of runners, but Johnny cropped up along with one or two others that I do follow. And I have seen just Johnny's enthusiasm for the sport from the start. He's relatively new to running, coming from a rugby background, and the fact that his social media has really improved and he's grown a big audience of over 50,000 followers. So Johnny's been really interesting to speak to, and I hope that you get lots of value and enjoy the conversation we had. I will warn you that quite last minute, Johnny realized that the internet connection in his hotel wasn't great, so we went ahead with it in the local coffee shop, so you might hear some background noise where Johnny is. But yeah, Johnny is so enthusiastic and, yeah, shares his experiences more than anything. So hopefully you enjoy our conversation. Okay, welcome back to the Gary House podcast. Today we've got Johnny Davis, who is the biggest runner on TikTok. I'm going to start with you, mate, by asking, why haven't you stopped running yet?
Great question. Nice. I think there's, with most people getting to running, there's always a checklist of things that people want to achieve. I think when I first started, there was an element of that. And as I progressed through distance running into ultra running, that quest has sort of got it further on. So every time I complete one sort of step on the ladder, I add two or three more the other end. So until it finally breaks me at some point, which could be within the next couple of years or next decade or so, I'll certainly be continuing running until that point happens. But so far, so good.
Whenever I see you on TikTok, which is how I found you, you just look like you love it kind of thing. And I can't tell if that's because you're still in the first few years or just because you love you're loving kind of sharing the from the content side. So which is it? How long have you actually been running now?
I think now it's marked like 3 years, because I just noticed the date Strava popped up with 3 years ago you did this run. And I remember that being the first time I ran more than 10 kilometers, I think, in my life. And that at the time, I remember it being very difficult and not the most enjoyable experiences. But afterwards, I felt a certain level of satisfaction from doing something that I thought was particularly challenging at the time. And from there, so I guess to say 3 years, that's still within the honeymoon period, where, you know, it's still, it's certainly
enjoying it. But I think when I started on TikTok, which is about this time last year, sharing more experiences, that certainly helped drive me forward or maintain a certain enthusiasm for it. Sharing with other people, you know, allowing to connect with other runners, help other people. And not just that, but also meet people through TikTok who in a similar position that I am, or maybe just starting out. And that's kind of given me a very fresh perspective on running. From a sport that I was very late to getting to, you know, I've played rugby pretty much all my life. You know, as much as there is elements of running involved with rugby, that wasn't the part I enjoyed. I much more enjoyed the physical side to it. However, I think through years of, you know, injuries, you know, the physical aspect of it sort of breaking you down, it took its sort of toll. And as I started getting to running, even though I certainly wouldn't say I was built for distance running, comparing myself to other people, the start line of races, it's something that I've used to keep accountable for my own training. And just far from it, it's one of those communities around it that's very understanding. You know, many other sports have, you know, not, I wouldn't say hostile, but certainly not as welcoming to people sort of getting involved and taking part. Whereas running is one of those sports that I don't think anyone's naturally good at running. Everyone's got to work at it to improve. You know, people aren't just rocking up to their first half and running, you know, 2:30. So it's something that I think everyone's, it humbles everyone who gets into it.
I think, like you say, it doesn't really matter when you come into running. Hopefully, I think it's quite a good community because obviously there's always bad eggs in everywhere. But sure, the main thing is most people have been where you're at. Like, I've been a coach for many years. I've still had the first few experiences of like running down the canal where I lived and having to sit on a bench within a minute kind of thing. So as long as people can remember that, then they can at least show empathy and all that kind of stuff. And whereas like rugby, football, like I was big into football for years. That's what, that was my sport. If you're naturally, you can be naturally good at some of those sports and just get away with it a little bit, I think. Like, you're the biggest runner on TikTok. Yeah, that was your tagline. That's what, the tagline was first thing. I'm not going to, I'm going to go on. I just want to know some stats. So, because like, obviously for those of you who are just listening, let's like, give me some stats why you're the biggest runner on TikTok, Johnny.
So I am a pretty big bloke. When I got into running, I was around 110 kilos. Standard 194 centimeters, so about 6'4". I'm sure there are some people out there who are bigger than me who enjoy distance running.
Yeah.
I haven't met any of them yet, but I'm sure there are out there. But it's, I think it's just a bit of an element because I noticed when I started getting into running before posting anything on social media, I would go out with other runners and I was distinctly larger than most people. And I've never really been conscious about that. It's one of those things that, you know, you are your size. I've obviously dropped weight since getting into running down to around 100 kilos now, which isn't typical distance runner size. I do get people sort of at the start line of, you know, marathons or ultra marathons being like, are you okay? Are you lost or sort of stuff? And yeah, no, it's always been a year to get back. I was in that, I did Paris half marathon a few weeks ago. And I was just passing the 20-kilometer mark. This guy who's been running me the whole way, he's just like, what are you doing here, mate? And I was like, I don't enjoy this sort of stuff. And he's like, how are you holding the stage? And I was like, I've been training pretty hard to do this. This is not how I'm turning up here. This is not a fun run for me. So, no, it was a great experience that way. And I do, I guess an element of people assume about your size and stature when you go into sort of running, you know, or maybe not that quick, whatever it is. And again, I've never wanted to compare my pace to anyone else's pace. It's always been a process of improving my own time for races. And that's it, really. You know, I'm not going to sit there and compare myself to some friends of mine who are seen significantly larger or smaller than me, who are naturally the more appropriate size to be competitive at those things. Now, I'm 30 years old. I'm not going to set any world records here. I'm just doing it for my own self-preservation, so we say. So I've never been too caught up in that. And you know, the main thing a lot of people always said was, you know, being that size, you never had any injury issues. I've had every injury under the sun playing rugby. I had knee surgeries. I broke multiple bones in my body. I have never in 3 years of running at a decent amount had any slight injury at all. Not one whatsoever. If anything, through running, I've actually, you know, improved so much about the issues I had of injuries. Now, I've had issues with my ankles, my knees, rugby, and they were sort of lasting injuries that I felt doing other sort of exercise. Through running, they don't bother me anymore. These things, yeah, it's almost like they've, you know, programmed them correctly.
they're working with coaches who, you know, understand being a larger bloke is going to have certain impacts. You know, focusing on good technique, making sure my cadence is correct, making sure how I'm landing is correct, all my body mechanics are correct. As a result of that, I've noticed that actually the issues I had, so the knee pains, ankle pains, have all gone over the last couple of years. And touch wood, being injury free, I've never, you know, I've never even gone through very hard training blocks of marathons or ultras. I've looked my other side feeling pretty good.
What kind of what position did you use to play rugby? And do you still play a bit of rugby, or is that kind of dropped off now?
It dropped off about last year, calendar year was my last season. And I played quite a few different clubs around the UK. I played in Europe as well, and I was always a back row. I was always quite naturally fast and good off the mark. And so I think from that I had a good understanding of speed mechanics. I think it needed to, you know, to move acceleration, deceleration. I understood that those mechanics quite well. So when I got into running, I understood that it's very important, things like your foot placement, things like, you know, body positions, how you're driving yourself through, all these things. I had a relatively good understanding before I got into it. So even though I was new to distance running, and, you know, the ideas of anything above 100 meters kind of scared me, I understood the importance of making sure you're doing things the right way to prevent injury. Because again, it was, you know, the amount of training you're doing for rugby is one of those things that if you didn't do it, hang on, lot you risk there. And a lot of people wants to be injured, right?
Yeah, well, I'd say you're like a guy that's, I'd sum it up as you're like, you're fit to run rather than somebody who's trying to run to get fit. So you've got that big background of like strength and mobility to a certain point and stuff like that. And then you're quite conscious of your body when you've started running. So you're not just like running as far as you can every time. You've been quite kind of methodical about it. But then also, I imagine the more you run, and I think probably what's been happening like over the last few years, you'll probably realize that the more you run, the more it kind of sorts itself out, and you don't have to consciously think about all these different cues just because you've practiced running quite a lot more now. You find that easier now?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I remember at the start, I mean, there was always slightly like, guesswork when it came down to it. But as I'm quite a curious individual when it comes to something I'm not very good at, I look at, okay, what can I improve here, and do, you know, months and consistent YouTube searching, all these different terms and understanding things, and then applying them to my way, and then eventually getting a coach who could actually, you know, cut out the guesswork when it came down to any of this stuff. It's made such a difference. I mean, don't get me wrong, at the start, I was, as much as I knew a lot about sprinting and rugby, and there is obviously not, there is some carryover. There was a whole lot of stuff I didn't really understand, or, you know, even to the point of understanding, you know, intensities of runs, you know, what was an appropriate structure for a training week, how that looked. And I only, when I started getting my head around it, I started bouncing, you know, structure, good running week. And then when I finally started working with a coach, she was looking at my sort of my own programming. He was like, it's not that far off what I'd give you. So I thought, okay, that's what I get.
Yeah.
Nice to have the accountability with the coach and that constant feedback. Because I think the biggest issue with a lot of people is, and that's why I really love working with coaches, is having that constant feedback mechanism. My coach probably dislikes it a lot because I'm constantly asking them feedback. I'm in a constant communication with him, probably more than most people and their coaches, probably more than most people, more than their partners even. And it's kind of like voice during my run to let him know how I'm feeling. But no, I think it's a great way to set accountability, because there's been times when, not sort of form now a little bit, but more case of, there's been times when I'm getting something get tired through training blocks, and I mean, making excuses of why not to do this certain run here or whatnot. And when I've got a coach in there, I speak to him, and he'll maybe reprogram something, change it around, or just move it a day or so, and just maintain, you know, moving in the right direction. Because I think to a certain point, it's always that beginner development, right? As soon as you start getting into it, you naturally get a bit faster just from the first few weeks, and then you sort of get into nitty gritty where you've got to do a bit more to get a bit more out of it. I think I got to that stage, and I kind of stayed at that sort of plateau for a little while. I didn't mind it. I was enjoying it. You know, it's not always the goal to get faster. Sometimes it's just the enjoyment of doing what you like. And I was really enjoying running. Every time I could travel somewhere, I'd run in that place. And it was only when I started to go, okay, let's see what I can sort of start testing myself with here, and just see how quickly I can improve. You know, see what the differences can be, and realistically see how I can get, you know, with my size stature, how far can someone of my size go at these races. It turns out quicker than it used to be, but we're getting there.
It's funny because, like you say, because you're like, when you look at you on the TikTok videos, it is one of the most it's the most obvious thing that you're bigger than everyone, because like you say, 6'4" and 100 kilos, but it's not like you're just a fit, strong guy, basically surrounded by all these unhealthy kind of runners, basically. So it's funny, because as lots of runners will, like you say, you might get questioned. That's going to be one of my questions. Do you get questions about your knees, or because of your size, and, oh, Johnny, what do you eat and stuff like this? Whereas, like, in a rugby perspective, it was like size matters, doesn't it? To a certain extent, but it's like the fitness involved for a runner, you have to be strong, and it's a benefit to be powerful in some of the races, especially in some of the races that you've been doing. So do you get questions from runners questioning your size and stuff, or is it just, oh, look, there's there's a bigger guy beating me again?
No, I do definitely get a lot of questions asked about it, because there are so many runners out there that are unbelievable runners. They're fast, but they maybe neglect the strength side of things. Obviously, coming from the background of strength and from rugby, I was the other way around. I've probably neglected the running for many years with my training. So it's nice when there's sort of two sides meet. So some of the people I train with in London are elite level runners, and they are they're insanely quick people. But they dislike the strength side. For me, I love both running and strength training as much as each other, and that's probably why, I do what I do. So it's less of a negative, it's much more of a positive place, because, Jack's and all of my friends are really good runners, and, their strength numbers are, obviously running's their main thing, right? But they neglect it because they're so conscious of how maybe low their strength numbers are compared to the people. I think just because it's something, just because it's not good in comparison to people, again, you shouldn't be comparing it to other people. It's one of those things that you can work on yourself, looking at, okay, where's my strength numbers at the moment? Where's my baseline? How can I improve on that? What will the outcome be from improving on my times? I think for me, it's just this last year, I definitely toned back the strength training, because you don't need 150 kilo bench press to run an ultra marathon.
Nice,
but there was a quite large element of me going from strength training 4 or 6 times a week, very heavy lifts, and enjoying that process of doing it. But then it got to a point of, okay, if I want to get better as a runner, how should I be training in the gym? And sort of moving away from that traditional strength basis and focusing on a lot more stability exercises, single leg work, core work, things that maybe I had neglected slightly, but I think it's just because I liked the way I trained in the gym for such a long period of time. I was very comfortable. And also, it's quite a safe environment for me. I know, stick a set of three weights in front of me, I'm going to be pretty happy there. Make me do some balance exercises and single leg.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a bit, there is definitely a huge element of that, but it's a matter of pushing what's uncomfortable. I think when getting into distance running can be an area of uncomfortability for a lot of people, especially around, I think most people's relationship with running comes from quite a negative position, especially when it comes from a sport background. Running is always that if you drop the ball in rugby, you go run laps, you go run shuttle runs, but no one at those things, you're getting yelled at by a coach being like, go as fast as you can. So you've built into this mind, it's almost like running trauma. Every time I run, I have to run as fast as I can, otherwise fans yell at me. And obviously, that's kind of built into a lot of people. And that's why when I speak to people about running, they're like, oh, I hate running. So, okay, why do you hate running? It's like, well, it's knackering. It's like, okay, well, how fast are you running? What's your power when you run? They're like, I'm just trying to run as fast as I can. It's like, that's completely unnecessary. But I think that's the place it comes from. And even when I first do distance running, I was pushing it hard. I looked at my heart rate stats from that first Strava run 3 years ago, and it was pushing 170 for 10 kilometers. And I remember the feeling of it, and I remember how terrible I felt afterwards. Simply because, that's what was drilled into me about running is, you messed up, you go sprint, you go do this. And it's sort of unlocking that trauma. It's like, okay, until someone said to me, you don't need to run as fast as you can. I was like, interesting. And from that, you can sort of rebuild the relationship with running. I think that's where most people, everyone growing up, as you said before, playing football, rugby, that was my relationship with running, was it was a punishment. And as a result, having that negative sort of connection with it for so many years, it wasn't until sort of I learned, there's no one standing over your shoulder yelling at you saying you've got to go faster. As a runner, you never have to run fast if you don't want to. But I just think it's really basic things a human can do is to move with their 2 feet at a sort of somewhat faster pace than walking. it's definitely what we're, it's probably from a design perspective, we're pretty good at it, at running compared to most other animals. So it's one of those things that I think once you get over that sort of fear or over that sort of concern or worry, and you're not looking at your pace, you're not looking at what other people's paces are, you're just going out and enjoying it, it becomes such an enjoyable thing to do. And it also is one of those things, it's not, the barrier to entry is so low, you need a pair of shoes and you need air to get outdoors and that's it.
And I think especially, like, you're based in London, so obviously you have restrictions, but if you weren't running and you weren't running around Battersea Park and stuff like that, you would be in a gym or you'd be traveling on tubes and stuff like this. And I speak to like some of the people that I coach down in London, mm-hmm. and they're always like really enthusiastic about going for their run because it is like they get to escape for half an hour or an hour, even though it is in a big park or whatever. It's not like around where I am in North Wales, but it still is. It's, I think, more and more that's why people, if I speak to someone in a city, they seem to, if they're running, they seem to enjoy running, whether they did at the start or not, but they enjoy running because, yeah, they might have found it, they might have come from spin classes or something else in the gym and something, and now they're just running for fun. There's so much more of that now. What I wanted to ask you is that the first couple of TikTok videos I found of you, I'll be honest, because I use like social media for work and TikTok. I don't follow many runners. I follow you and is it Dan, a newbie runner lad that from Manchester?
Great,
yeah. Yeah, I followed him, and I think yours popped up because of him, maybe, or whatever it was. And because my algorithm on TikTok, I quite like it because it's just football, golf, music. It's nothing to do with running because it works really well. Yeah. So like, but like, that first couple of videos were really funny. Brand new runner. Like, I used to live in Manchester, so I'm like seeing this guy go through his first few runs. The first few I saw from you were quite similar, admin, but it was you sharing like an experience of a run, and then it was just talking about a shoe, but it wasn't in a way that was, you weren't trying to hammer home advice to everyone, as in what you shouldn't be doing. You talk, I think, a lot more from just personal perspective and your experience along the way. Is that like a conscious effort, or is it just your content style?
100% is a conscious effort, Liam. The last thing I see is that I've got certain nuanced experiences of running the last 3 years. Great. There are so many people out there who have much, much, much better advice to give than I do when it comes to running. You know, that's why I try and avoid being like a running advice channel, because I always think, I don't know, I've got most of the answers I haven't got. So I always, that's why I have a coach myself to improve for myself there. Mm-hmm. But I try and avoid giving running tips or advice simply because chances are I'm wrong. And I'm very happy to say that. And the whole point of the channel is, is stopping my experience of becoming a better runner, what I'm doing to become a better runner myself, and that sense there. So, there's certain very basic tips I'll give out when it comes to certain things that are very easy. When it comes to more, anything that requires a bit more depth, a bit more nuance to it, I'm definitely the right person to speak. That's why I don't share things like workouts. I'm not saying, do this workout.
Yeah.
I'm not a coach. And I'm very clear with my audience that, listen, I'm not a running coach. That's why people ask programs often. Like, I'm good with self-programming, but I wouldn't want to be giving out programs to other people, let alone selling programs to other people, because I think that there's so many great programs out there to follow that are so well thought through, well tested, and, they're backed up by, wealth experience and knowledge. Whereas I don't think it's appropriate for me to give out advice for someone who's only been running a couple of years, who's still learning as I go, and that's the one thing I'm very, very conscious of. And I think there's a lot of people who sort of jump on the bandwagon of going, they start to run and it's like giving out advice or selling programs or selling coaching around it. And I'm very conscious that I don't think that's necessarily beneficial for people to understand. Whereas I think from the mentality side of it, that's where I've got a bit more experience in there. Trying something new from a few years ago, something that maybe I wasn't actually good at, or something that I didn't start doing as a very, very young age. I think most people out there don't run much, in the running world, that's different. For most of my audience, people who are interested in running, but aren't great runners necessarily, and that's absolutely fine. So for me, it's not about trying to give them a lot of structure, rigor. It's more about looking at the mental side of it, or also just sharing my experiences so that they can go, there's this guy who's looks like he shouldn't be anywhere near, you know, a marathon course. He's going out and doing it. And as a result of that, I mean, I think the best, you know, aside from some things like views and follow accounts, which ultimately aren't that important for me, what I do really like is you can get messages of people being like, I've never ran before, but I've started to get into doing this. Or like, oh, yes, I've been out of it for a while, and now I've signed up for this race, and I'm going to train for this. And that, for me, is a really big thing. That's why I started the channel, was ultimately to share my experiences and hopefully people would benefit from them. And it seems to be doing the job so far. And obviously, the channel is growing at a great rate. You know, it's something I've been
Thousand plus at the moment.
Yeah, we just past 50,000 on TikTok. I'm just kind of doing stuff on Instagram. That's growing quite fast at the moment. So it's again, follower account aside, with TikTok, it's a bit of a strange place where follower accounts are dramatic, because every time you post, even if you've got a lot of followers, you may not get many views in a video, but it's almost like every single piece you just put out underneath it, and it's good in that sense there. So that's why I'm quite conscious of making sure, you know, each piece is well structured and put together.
That's why I really like your content, because what I've seen, like, from following it and it pops up more, is your running is progressing. Seems that way anyway. Yeah. But also, like, the content is, yeah, the way you create the content seems to be progressing as well. Like, it shows that, because I'm, over the years, I've become more interested in making videos and things like this, and just because I really enjoy the process of coming up with the idea, making a video, like editing it up and stuff afterwards, that kind of stuff, and then putting it out there. Like you say, if you're not worried about the views and things, and that's a bit that it's quite good. But yours, like I say, I think you're doing yourself a slight injustice, because you're not giving straight advice or telling people do's and don'ts, but people are just following your journey. And I remember, like, when I started out, which was, like, I've been a runner 16 years now, and then, so I was making, sometimes I see you and that band, and I see you making a mistake, or I even see a mistake coming, kind of thing, yeah? But I remember doing the exact same thing, and what's good about it is I've seen you talk to camera, and you just say, oh, that didn't go great, or that was a bit rubbish, or whatever, and you've still got a smile on your face, and then that's what makes it good advice, because it's like, not every run is fantastic. You don't have to do everything to the letter, but overall, you're progressing with both. So again, like, with the content creation, is that what you enjoy doing?
Absolutely, mate. I come from a world of financial tech, is my profession. So
yeah,
it's a very different place for me. I mean, I've posted the odd thing here on my on Instagram to friends, but never really out to anyone outside of that sort of bubble. People that already knew me. So actually going through that process of, especially on TikTok, where people you don't know are going to see it, from my first 50 videos, looking back at them recently, I was looking back at how, you know, now I can say, okay, I can see the improvements from this side here. At the time, I thought they were brilliant. I thought, I was like, oh, yeah, it's great, this. Obviously, as you get better at things, you look at certain things, why things didn't do too well, why things did well. But I think it's having, you know, documented the process at the same time, it's improving on both fronts, right? It's improving on developing as a runner, getting, you know, improving in that standpoint, but also from a content creation standpoint, what would be good for them to watch, or what would be good for them to understand, and actually being honest about it and realizing that it's not about looking polished and perfected and trying to be like, well, I just snatched this time, da, da, da. It's like, actually, that's not that helpful to anyone, and it's very self-indulgent in that sense. So I try and steer clear of that and actually focus more on what am I struggling with, seems to make a better story out of, or a better piece of content out of that. So the other week, I did back-to-back races, which was stupid of me, but I got an invite to Paris Half Marathon 2 weeks after Seville Marathon. Mm-hmm. And my coach, like, go and enjoy it. Don't go for a PB, just enjoy it. Being the idiot that I am, I didn't. I went for a PB, got a PB, very happy about, but it's put me in the bin for about three weeks now. I haven't been feeling great.
Yeah.
So I've mentioned that in my content. I've said to people, like, I feel awful. I'm trying to get back into the process at the moment. Those runs I did today in those trail runs, they were horrific. Granted, they were very difficult courses because they were,
yeah.
I borrowed them off you, the route. But even this last couple of weeks, like, I went out for my Saturday long run of the week. I got to 8 kilometers in and I just stopped running. I was really down. I was really, like, tired out of it. And I was like, part of me is a bit disappointed. The other part of me is like, well, no, this is just how you feel. But it's okay to feel that way. You can't argue with that. And much like preach, you know, pushing yourself and all this other stuff, there's like, you're going to step back a bit and then go, hang on a minute, you've just done a 16-week marathon block followed by a PB in a marathon, and then 2 weeks later, a PB on your half marathon. It's okay to feel a bit shit right now. Like, that's absolutely fine. You know, I think you've earned the right to be so. And just take a bit of time. So I made a video about it, being like, look, I don't feel particularly fast or athletic. I also feel like I forgot how to run immediately afterwards. So I was on this run and nothing felt natural.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
I just walked for a bit, and I said to people, I did a walk run today instead, and it is what it is. Like, at least I'm getting out and doing something, and, you know, you're not always going to feel great. And I think it's a big part of it is, you know, I always say, like, a third of the time is going to feel great, a third of the time is going to feel okay, a third of the time is going to feel rubbish, and that's fine. Like, but sometimes it's not going to be, it's going to be like 2 weeks of feeling rubbish, but you just kind of got to get through it and try and maybe bring it down in intensity, maybe bring down the distance. I always still preach doing something, I'm always injured, but at the same time, understanding that after a little while, you've got to take some time off from that thing, especially if you're spending the whole time pushing yourself, you know, you actually got to try and set some PBs, go through difficult, challenging training blocks. It's going to actually feel a bit bad afterwards. You know, the highs of the race are over, and all of a sudden you're feeling a bit lazy and a bit tired. That's absolutely fine. And I think going through that, because that's the first time I've really wanted to push myself for specific times, and I was like, why do I? You know, I was a bit worried, you know, like I'm this guy who talks all about running, makes all my content around running. Yeah, I'm not even running that much at the moment. It's like, hang on a minute, step back. You've just done all this stuff here, and just shared experience. And I think that's where people see, especially on social media, and that's why I love TikTok so much, because it's hard to be unauthentic. Because if you're unauthentic, people don't really care that much.
Yeah,
people like when you open up a bit. People like when you're honest with them, and that's how you create that relationship with your audience. And that's what I like to think I've created with my audience, and why, you know, I'm able to connect with so many people on there. Whereas I think before, maybe a few years ago, on Instagram, people were like only wanting to show the polished result, you know, shot, whatever it is, and like they were afraid to put out a process behind it. Where I think after doing TikTok, the wonderful thing is encourages to make a lot of content. You've kind of got to show the process. You've got to show the side that maybe you don't want to talk about too much, but that's what people care about when it comes to it, is trying to show the bits that suck. Don't show yourself at your best. And even yesterday, I was putting a video together from a trailer I did, and it went horribly wrong. And I looked awful. My lip was all over the shot. I was not feeling it. And I remember putting the video together, being like, at the start of the video, I thought, I look pretty good here. This is fine. By the end of it, I'm like, I look awful here. I was like, put it in, going in the video, like, you can beat yourself up about these sort of things too much. So, and definitely the main thing is, you know, it's by being honest with your audience, you allow you to be honest with yourself. And
yeah.
That's a good thing to do sometimes. I think sometimes it's very easy to bullshit yourself a lot of the time. But when you've got an audience and that are asking you questions about things, you'd feel bad about bullshitting to them. So that's why it's quite nice to be able to have that ability to sort of be honest with them. And that in turn allows you to be honest with yourself about a few things.
Plus, you answer a lot. I've seen you do just straight answers, whether it's a question for like comments on one of your videos, and I've been quite a lot of your videos, as in, like, you're not scared to put up just polished or put together stuff. You'll just answer straight questions. And then I think what that does is, especially because I've listened to a few of them, and it is, again, just based on your experience, or I've even say I'm not 100% sure, but this is what I do. So you cannot go wrong with doing what you're doing. And then also, like you say, you cannot be anyone but yourself doing it that way, because anyone can look back and look at the last 20 answers to your questions, and then, yeah, these are just genuine answers. Like,
yeah,
and sometimes it's quite hard, isn't it? You will get questions that you'll know you kind of, you can't answer in a 10-second clip or whatever it is.
Sure.
But you feel, but what happens? Then, yeah, it's like
yeah.
99% of my questions are either like, go and see a physio, or
yeah,
have a rest, or eat more food, or something. It's that kind of sure. basic stuff. But at the same time, what I like about your stuff is you don't go down the lines of giving someone, doesn't have to be a specific kind of answer. It's just general advice and getting out there, really.
There is, yeah, 100%. I mean, there's so much. There's one thing I've always noticed from people that I always ask the question of, why do I follow certain people on social media? What do I like about? And I always find that people who are very honest with their audiences or give their audience a ton of data to answer certain questions. And so being on that side of most of my adult life, being the person who's asked people on social media questions about things, now I'm in the other side of it. I can't see any way other than to answer this question to people, especially if people don't know if you're asking questions they don't know. I guess it's a very simple thing. Obviously, that's fine. But most questions require a lot more insight and depth. So even then, when I have people ask me really questions that require more questions on my side to really understand it, I generally just say to them, just drop me a message on Instagram and like explain it a bit more around it, and I'll just send them a voice note. I do that for a while, but the problem is I'm getting a lot, like I'm checking most days, it's quite a few messages in there now, so I'll get through them like a couple times a week and go through that way. I would just think, if someone's asking a genuine question, it means that if it's a question you can Google, it's kind of a bit like, it takes me 2 seconds to answer, that's fine. But when it's got a question, especially around an injury, that's a very delicate place, that the last thing I want to do is give someone the wrong advice. Also, I'm not a physio, so the answer is, you may need to see a physio here, but this potentially could be the issue here. And like with most things, there is often a set answer, and it's generally, it could be this or it could be that.
Yeah.
But the best thing to do is to go see someone who can give you a bit more of a firm answer on that, rather than me, who's been doing this a couple of years. Do I have experience of injuries? Yeah, loads of them. Most of them from rugby, none from running. So when people talk about running injuries, shin splints, knee issues, runner's knee, I'm probably the worst person to ask, because I've never dealt with these things. I can talk about how not to throw up on ultra marathons. I'm pretty good at that. I'm like, things to bring with you. Those sort of things I'm pretty good at. Or, what's the DC? What's your top 10 songs that's going to run? I've got you there. But when it comes to certain things that require that, if I get the wrong answer, I have a bit of a consequence to that person, then I'm not gonna. It's so out of my purview that I'm not gonna sit here and act as if I've got all the answers to everything, because I certainly don't. I'm still trying to search most of the answers myself. But I think it's again, it's honestly, and also there's not maybe a lot of people wanting certainty from their answers or certainty from their questions. Probably looking for something else from me there, but unfortunately, as much as I think I know a lot, there's so much that I don't know. And I think it's about, I think the big part is respecting those that do know. There's a lot of people like yourself, you've been coaching for a long time. There's probably more about running you've forgotten than I know. So, me trying to sit there and act as if I'm some sort of oracle around the sport running, I know myself, I know what I'm doing, and I can share my experiences. And that's kind of where I draw the line of sand. Whereas when it comes to other things, it's a bit like, if I don't know around something, I'm going to be quite transparent. My audience will be like, listen, I don't know, but this person might, or maybe she goes to a physio, or maybe try this. But again, most answers are quite unique in a sense there. And a lot of people, you may get it a lot of time, but people are trying to explain an injury to you as if you can magically tell them what the solution to it is. I mean, someone very, very, great detail explained their knee pain to me. I've had knee surgery before, but that was, a rugby-related injury. And they were trying to explain to me, they were asking me if I changed my cadence to this, would that make a difference? I'm like, hey, I only learned what cadence was 6 months ago. I'm definitely not going to be the man to answer the question of that one there. So
I think sometimes it's like, it's quite scary sometimes, some of the questions I get. Like you say, I've been a running coach for a long time, and I was coaching before Instagram, and Instagram went well for me only in the last 12 months or so, whatever, really. But I was coaching and that kind of thing. But some of the questions I would get are always like this, like, you need to see a doctor, not I'm a running coach. Yeah, well, they'll ask me on like American politics or something. Like, sometimes you think, I don't understand how people get to the point where they need to ask me that question, but It's like you say, as long as you just, no one's asking me on brain surgery, like, so I'm okay. In running world, I'm okay.
Yeah.
When it comes to your, go on.
No, you go on.
When it comes to your content creation and stuff, are you surprised about how well it's gone, and where do you want to kind of take it? Or is it still just doing it because you enjoy it? But now, like, I see you working with brands and things like this, which must be great. Where do you want to take it?
It's a great question. And to be fair, when I started out, I didn't have an intention with the account of what I wanted to do. I just kind of wanted to share a bit about it. And ultimately what I wanted to do was to connect with more people that were in that world of running, because I didn't know that many runners. I know a lot of people who play rugby. I know a lot of people in financial tech world. Running world was a completely new area to me. So for me, it was, you know, in lieu of joining a running club, I'd much rather, like, how can I meet people around the world to do this? And as that was ultimately my goal, was how can I connect with people who are doing this, who enjoy this, who are, you know, have that same sort of idea. And that was kind of initially the start of it. I didn't necessarily expect it to go as well as it's done. And as a result of it, as it's getting better, I've gone, okay, maybe I've said this a bit more seriously. Now to the point that, yeah, I'm working with a few different brands now. I've just signed with Lululemon as a running ambassador for the UK, which is great. You know, they're very supportive of
Beyond These Vibes.
I thought I heard there, so my entire wardrobe's changed the last few weeks. However, it's also a case of, it's nice to be obviously recognized by a brand like that. They're like, hey, we'd like to work with you. They approached me, and the whole thing, I was like, I didn't know how to, when they approached me about it, I was like, it's very specific. Like, what do you want? Like, and so it was different, because again, different world from here. So, and that's really nice to be able to do. And it obviously allows me the time, and, you know, they give me the resources to go and do what I want to do, and wear their gear, obviously, and make content around it, which is great. And had the thought of growth in there. So I'm now taking it a bit more seriously than I was a few months ago. I think from Christmas to now is when I've started realizing, going, hang on a minute, like, we're getting quite a few, I think, per month. It's a couple of million views on the videos. And if you had told me that a year ago, I wouldn't have believed you. But it's quite, you know, it's nice, you know, jumping in the front. And it's become a lot easier, because at the start, it took me so long to film this. I didn't know what angles to shoot from it, all this sort of stuff. And you learn as you go. That's why those things there. It's going to be bad, maybe. And then even in 6 months' time, I look back at the videos from now, and I'll probably go, oh, I could have done this a little better this way. So it is, it's great to be able to work with brands in that sense there. More importantly, it's doing what I like to do, and that's connecting with people. So I've been able to travel a lot this last year to meet people, you know, the countries run with people that I'm connected with through social media. And that's definitely the biggest thing for me, is actually who you meet along the way, and, you know, the friends you make as you're doing it. And I've certainly made a whole host of new friends and connections this last year through running and doing it by social media, which is wonderful. You know, even when I was out in Seville at the Starling Pen, random people come up to me being like, hey, how you doing? I'm like, where are you from? Like, oh, I'm from Belgium, or I'm from Italy. I'm like, you what? They're like, yeah, what's that? I was like, this is quite a strange thing from someone who's like, you know, quite a private individual or stuff. I don't really share. It's new to me to be sharing all this sort of stuff going on there. They know, like, my running times, they know my training, all this stuff.
Yeah.
This is actually insane, but you know, it's lovely. And I think, you know, I think I've put a lot of effort making sure it's quite positive space, my channel, so that, you know, the interactions I've had with people have been nothing but positive. Of course, every one you get the odd idiot here and there, but I have a pretty strict block policy if someone's a bit of a more around it. So again, I think that's definitely helped with my self-reflection around social media. Nothing to talk about, the negative social media people, you know, trying to just throw their opinion down your face, especially on your own page. And anytime someone does that, I'm too busy running or sleeping here and worry about arguments there. So they get sent out the channel straight away. But no, it's a great, it's still very new to me, I'll be honest. And I'm enjoying it nonetheless. And yeah, it's great to be able to work with really cool brands but still get to do what I want to do with it. You know, I'm definitely not taking any sort of direction or orders from anyone. That's why I said to any brand I work with is I kind of get to still do what I do. But, you know, I'm not, it's, you know, become a walking advert for anyone. You know, we stand together in a conversation.
That's what, like, again, your content suits really well. If I was a brand, I'd be looking at people like you, because you don't need to change anything you're doing. It's just you're making your, like, the vlog style videos, say, But if it's in Lululemon gear, then that is a good representation for the brand, isn't it? It works both ways, really. With the races that you've done, which races have you kind of been? Have you done the typical path of 10K, half marathon, marathon? And I know you're going to step into ultra now. Was that always the plan, or have you? Tell me.
Yeah. My first actual formal race was the Madrid Marathon last year. And then my second was 100K Ultra.
Oh, brilliant, yeah.
So I did it the complete opposite. I ran a marathon in one of my second year properly running, I ran a marathon just for a laugh with a friend of mine. We're in Dubai. We're supposed to run this half marathon event. It got cancelled. We said, why don't we just run a whole marathon and do it on our own? And we made our own little course. It was like half in the desert, half in the town bit. And we just ran this 10K track four times with a bit of change. And I remember that being, it was like 30 degrees. I didn't even know what I was doing, but I was like, I wanted to kind of do it and see what it's like.
I liked it. I had fun.
And yeah. Also, afterwards, I felt okay. My legs didn't fall off. It was fun. It was a good bonding experience with me and my friend who'd neither of us done it before. And then after that, the following year, I actually entered the Madrid Marathon. And I wanted to just try and do an actual event. So I didn't know how running events works and worked with getting a bib number. All this is new to me. So I wanted to go through that process. And obviously, you have to travel to other countries to do it. It's always a cool experience. And I actually used to live in Madrid for a while as well. So it's nice to go back to that city and do it there. That was fun. And then as soon as I did that, I was like, okay, well, let's see what's the periodically. A lot of people may say, okay, well, why don't you work for the marathon time and get that down? I was kind of like, okay, what I liked about it was I enjoyed the training around it. I don't think I enjoyed doing the marathon because it was such a horrible, difficult distance, but you're also going at quite high intensity. Whereas, okay, why don't we try a distance that's a bit further where you're not going all out the entire time? You can pace it nicer. You can actually enjoy the experience. So I thought 100 kilometers sounded more fun. So I did the Thames Path ultramarathon last September.
Yeah.
Which I found to be one of the most enjoyable experiences of my life. I had such a great time out there. I was just so shocked at how okay I felt after these different distances. And it was also just that I got to eat so much that day. I really enjoyed that. So it was a great experience to just get it down. I met some really cool people. Finished in a decent time as well. Much faster than I thought I was even going to get it done in. So that was a real nice. And also so many friends would come on the day and do all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
It was just a real nice experience, and kind of a bit of it in my head. I was like, okay, 100K is like a bit of a distance that I wanted to just tick off. And again, woke up the next day, my legs had fallen off. I went to the gym, did a bit of bike work. I was okay. And it was again, I enjoyed doing it to show people, say, hey, just because you don't fit the stereotypical type of build of a person who does that sort of stuff, you can still go out and do it and enjoy it. And even the last couple of kilometers, as I started overtaking people, I was like, okay, we've got this here. Like people who were half my side, I was like, that feels pretty good. This is nice. It's definitely a great experience. And that's why I'm a bit, you should never be intimidated by these things. It's the intensity that gets you in all the distance. And I keep sharing that people, look, it's not, you've trained for it. You set off the goal, you've trained hard for it, you work hard for it, and you can go out and do these things. And actually, these things that may have seemed before quite intimidating or scary, believe you me, when I signed up to a 100K race, I was highly intimidated by that sort of distance. But then you go through the process, you do it, you realize actually it's not as bad. And most of the worrying concerns in your own head. And then once you pass that, it's not that nothing seems, things don't seem too difficult after that. So that's why I've got the next race I've got is in America in May. It's an 80 kilometer race. So in my head, I'm always like, I've ran further than that anyway. So it's not like, and it's with a cool group of people that I know through TikTok. They invited me out there. A few of them are sort of grouped together for it. So that's kind of a nice way to do it.
Is it on the hills?
It's not too bad. It's
rolling trail.
I think it's rolling trail. It's about 4,000 feet over the course of 50 miles. Yeah. So not too bad. I checked the course out and there's no real stumping climbs. It's quite nice and rolling, which definitely suits me. I mean, I was doing my best in some of those runs and some of those hills today. And even like, I always said to myself, if you can see the top, run. If you can't see the top, power hike through.
Power hike.
Yeah. Some was applied to these things, which is, I know. It was a humbling experience. So And I think I needed 5 kilometers in some of those gels today. So but thankfully, it's not too severe. And it's a good group. And also, where's it? When you've got the whole day to do something like that, and just enjoy it. Like, I think with the ultras, you know, unless you're top of your game trying to compete with people, you know, in one place, it's a great challenge to do. And it's a great way, it's something great to train for. And it's also, it lifts a lot of the limiting beliefs you have around running. You know, someone like me who never, like, I'd never run more than 10K 3 years ago is now running 100K so far. You know, it's great that we're completely within the realm of possibility to go and do that sort of stuff. That's the whole point of mine is, like, you know, I'm not out here trying to set any world records or anything. I'm not out here trying to, you know, David Goggins people into getting into running and yell at them down the camera. You know, it's more a case of, if you just put your mind to it and you create a, you know, a positive routine around this sort of stuff, it's not actually that hard. As long as you've got the time and the effort, and obviously I get it, time and effort, those big things a lot of people maybe don't have as much on, especially with work and those sort of things there. And it's maybe a bit easier for me to do these days than other people. But, you know, even with, I'm sure as a coach, you've understood, you know, people who lead busy lives trying to find the time to run or make the time to run. Yeah, once you get into some sort of routine, it's things progress pretty fast once you're into a good routine, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's it. Like, you're a proof, really, that you don't have to hammer it every single day. You've got a couple of runs in a week, a couple of gym sessions in a week. You enjoy it. You seem to enjoy the training. Yes, you work hard for, like, blocks of the training, and that's why I imagine it's been quite a success. But it's interesting because you've had quite a rise in both running and the social media kind of thing in a short space of time, and it just shows that you can, because although, like you're saying, you've a little bit fear of the distance and things like that, it just shows what people are capable of, really. And again, you've come from a sporting background, so maybe an advantage there, probably an advantage from being on Rugby Social in terms of getting food down you, I imagine, and whatever else. You can handle the crowd per hour. That's probably a good advantage. But, like, when it's... So now you're at a point and you've got the 80K in America, what is you kind of... Have you got any dream races that you would like to do or places that you want to visit? Because I had a quick look and you've already ran in some great places. What would you ideally want to happen in the next couple of years with the running kind of thing?
For sure. You all being this is one thing I realized in Seville is I'm definitely not built for warm conditions to run in. And one of the downsides of being a big lad is honestly your ability to cool yourself is a lot worse the bigger you are. So I quite like, I was in Sweden in January and there's some runs when I was out there and I really enjoyed it. Even though it was minus 15, I really enjoyed it. It was great. I felt nice and cool the whole way around, not fast. So I was thinking, where are some really cold races? So there's some races in the Arctic Circle that I like the look of. I think they actually are quite advantageous if you're a bigger person. I'm not too sure about, I know there's a lot of people have bucket lists of really difficult races, things like Marathon des Sables, whatnot. I understand heat plays such a big role in that and your body's ability to cool down, and I've never been good in heat, you know, even from playing rugby in hot places, even when I go to training runs when I'm away somewhere, I really don't cope well in the heat. And that's one of those things I kind of have to accept, that unless I wanted to really drop some size down and improve my ability to cool myself, I'm probably not going to progress on that. But there's some dream races. I think the majors look pretty cool to me. Especially, I think Tokyo really takes my fancy. I've got Chicago coming up later this year, which looks fun. But my thing, for me, it's actually a series of challenges I want to start doing. So I've got, I haven't announced it yet, but there's a really cool, an ultra I basically built for myself in London that basically is running every single tube line back to back, which accumulates about 500 kilometers of distance. That I checked them, as far as I can see, no one's done it before. No one's ran it, kind of liked it before. But no one actually ran that before, like line after line after line. And then for me, would be building up to next year doing John O'Groats at Land's End. In late next year. So they're sort of things for me that I want to work towards, and I'm really working on building the London project this year. But I think those are for me really special things to do. You know, they're marks. I think
one of these things, and you've said the tube line in London and run the length of it.
they're definitely for me to go into them. I think is what I like to have big lofty sort of goals in the future. Like, because all that does is it those things, don't get me wrong, both of those things terrify me, like absolutely terrify me.
Yeah.
But I know by addressing that fear, that worry, and training towards it, it's gonna, you know, make these bigger things seem not so possible. Like one of my friends, he starts this run across America on Sunday. He's doing it in 60 days, and he did John O'Groats Landing a few years ago. And he said what a turning point that was for him, because he'd done a few ultras, and he said that was the real turning point day after day. And then as soon as he said that, I was like, that really sort of coursing about me. So something that it's not, you don't face it alone, even though you're running it alone, you know, you need a support crew around you. You need people around you. I was thinking that's quite cool. You know, my dad's retired now, and he's quite bored. Like, he would love to drive a camper van up and down the country.
Yes.
Absolutely. And I've got enough friends who would love to get involved in certain sections of it. So I think those sort of challenges really do, because again, there's no rule on how fast or slow you can go, you know, like a marathon. And that's why I probably dislike the marathon so much, is because it's like, people, it's, you say you run a marathon, the first question people ask you is, oh, what's the time?
What time, yeah.
What time would you get? And so they're like, it kind of defeats the point about it. You know, that's what I like when people run maybe the majors, they go out and do. A friend of mine was out in Tokyo recently to do the major. He runs a pretty fast marathon. He did it in like 4:30 because he wanted to enjoy the day and wanted to go out and make the most of it. And I think that's great. And, you know, I think that's the right attitude for certain events. I mean, obviously, you're going for a specific time, you're training for a time to get a target, then absolutely, it's a different mindset, it's a different mentality. But I think, you know, not everything has to be about how quickly you do it in. Sometimes it's, you know, you got to enjoy the process of doing it. And I think that same with ultra running, it's, you know, I'm doing it because I'm doing this next ultra with a group of people that I get on really well with, and I want to enjoy the day doing it with them. And we all know each other through sharing our running stuff on TikTok. That for me is worth so much more than, you know, beating a couple of random Americans, I have no idea who they are, by 10 minutes. Like that for me doesn't really do much for me, but going out there with a group of people, making a weekend of it, you know, having a great time, that for me really does make a difference about it.
There's a race in Sweden that you should look up, Ultravasan. Yeah. I think it's called Ultravasan.
Yeah.
90K on nice rolling trail. You might like that one. Yeah, nice. Cold. It's flattish. I think it's not, I mean, it's not freezing cold, but it's, maybe spring or whatever. Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful place here. I was going to say, I was so impressed with that.
Yeah. And then there's Beyond the Ultimate that I do some work for. You can check out their races. They do races out there as well, like Lapland Ultra and stuff like that. So that'd be, that's like a 5-day stage race, and it's not like, it's not super competitive. It's just, again, you just go to experience, you literally run in the tracks of the snow plows and stuff like that kind of thing. So it is, it's like -10 to -20 probably out there. Yeah. I'd love to see you 6'4", fully kitted up with chasing my health skis down.
Although that way, I mean, that sounds a lot more enjoyable than doing it through the desert. I think as long as the temperature's good, I don't mind too much. As long as it's flat and it's quite cold, I think I'm fine. So that's why I think John O'Groats Landing takes my fancy, because it doesn't get too warm in this country, and most of the route is relatively flat.
Yeah. I mean, once you get, depending on where you go, like which route you choose, Scotland's a bit lumpy, but again, it's not, this is, like say, if you're taking your time, you can break it up really well. Yeah.
For sure. Put together how long that could, because it'd be feasibly, I don't want to spend, you know, a massive chunk of my time traveling across the country, but at the same time, I want to get it done in, because I know some people who set out doing that and they had to pull out because they just, say, set themselves too fast a pace or too much volume in a short space of time.
Yeah.
You know, I know people who've done that who didn't even make it out of Scotland. So it's very much a case of like you've got to be prepared for that. And again, it's day after day. It's one of those things that, you know, you can't have a bad day and go, you know what, I'm gonna have a day off here. It's kind of like you set yourself the goal of doing it again and again. So it's just about finding a way that you can, you know, that you're pushing yourself, but at the same time you're not gonna, you know, your legs aren't gonna fall off from doing so.
Definitely, mate. I'm looking forward to seeing that. I'm going to let you go now, because I know you've got to travel back to London. Thanks for chatting to me. It's been good learning more about you. I'm gonna catch up with you in future, definitely.
For sure,
and,
for sure.
Yeah, I want you to keep doing the content in the style that you are, because I enjoy it anyway. Hopefully, in some more inspiring places than the tube as well, mate.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you bringing me on, and thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. And
cheers, mate.
Keep we'll speak soon, okay?
Yeah, where can I direct people, mate? Is it just TikTok? What are you? What's your handle?
TikTok is JD Runs Far on TikTok, and on Instagram is Johnny R Davies, which I may soon change over to JD Runs Far. If you're keen to keep on branding, but yeah, JD Runs Far on TikTok and Johnny R Davies on Instagram.
Yeah, perfect, mate.
Perfect.
Thanks, guys. Super. Thanks,
take care, Gary. Take care, mate. Bye bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.